It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast, where we are trying to keep the intro under 13 seconds for the fear of İlkay Gündoğan scoring. So let's move on right with the podcast.
That was an unnecessary introduction.
With the full panel again. Welcome, Vishal.
Yes.
Talking about the unnecessary intro. And of course, we also have our European correspondent. That is Karan.
What's up, guys?
Okay, we have a lot to get through, gentlemen. But the big result in Europe over the weekend by a team who has won two editions in the last 3 years of this. Came back after being down in the first half. Great performance. I'm talking about, of course, the Barcelona women coming back from two goals down against Wolfsburg to win the UEFA Women's Champions League. But we will, in the meanwhile, dive into the Europa League final, which turned out to be quite eventful off the pitch and beyond the match, as much as it was on the pitch. It was Sevilla taking on Roma. And whenever anybody takes on a Jose Mourinho team in Europe, drama is not very far behind, gentlemen. We have talked about Jose quite a lot on this podcast. We have Johan Cruyff as the patron saint of the podcast, and Jose Mourinho is our devil's advocate appointed. So we've had quite a few ambivalent views, but let's begin with you, Vishal, in terms of assessing the match first. Roma went up 1-0, but then Sevilla, as they want to do in particularly this tournament, came back to make it 1-1. It eventually went to penalties, by which time I should confess I actually slept and woke up to find
Good
that and woke up to find that Roma astonishingly suffered the humiliation of only taking 3 penalties in the shootout and yet going on to lose it or contriving to lose it somehow. Which I consider quite embarrassing in a 5-penalty shootout. That yes, you can miss shots.
Well, absolutely, is it? Because that's a genuine reflection of poor penalty take.
They must be speaking to the Dutch.
So let's talk, Vishal, quickly about the game, and then we'll kind of talk about the fallout of that game, and also talk about what Mourinho did eventually in the aftermath of the game, because that's something crucially that needs to be addressed as well.
Yeah, I think if it's a final game and if it's a knockout game, the worst thing that could happen to a Mourinho team is take the lead, right? Because that pretty much means they're shutting shop, which is pretty much what happened, because Mourinho and Roma went took an early lead and they started off really well. They were playing some good football. They had some great, they were maintaining great shape and took the lead deservingly so. And right after that, it was pretty much the end, right? Mourinho and team did not push forward, did not seem to want to, you know, consolidate further and build on the lead, which they could have, because that Sevilla team did look like they really couldn't compete with the Roma team when the game began, right? But as any finals, you will see the more time you give an opponent, the more they get into the game. And a team like Sevilla, which practically build their team for the Europa Cup, right? Europa Cup finals, and every year on year they win it for a reason, and that's not fluke. So Mourinho should have known better, Roma should have known better, and they played right into the hands of Sevilla. And like you said, the penalty, if anybody watched those penalties, the quality of penalty taken was so poor, and deserving result, like, for a team that took the lead, should have consolidated and gone on to win the game. But in the end of the day, yep, Sevilla deserved to win it, because they played 120 minutes, unlike Mourinho, who practically tried to play for 30 minutes and then say, okay, let's shut shop and see how we can bring this one home.
Right. And that the same kind of, let's just say, for lack of a better word, shithousery that has served him well over the years. I think The Guardian pointed out that it was a template, Sevilla were copying a template of what, let's say, Porto did back in 2000.
Yeah.
Or thereabouts, and obviously tournament finals are there to be won. Sevilla have a rich history here; they have a proud record to keep up. They went ahead and did that. Obviously, the refereeing in the game was a bit of a talking point. So, quick pointer from you on this, Karan, in terms of the game and the quality of the refereeing. Your take on how that went, and then we'll kind of dive into the aftermath.
Well, I mean, irrespective, I mean, I don't want to spend too much time in basically trying to gauge the validity of the decisions. But at the end of the day, we need to realize that that one decision did not ultimately have a bearing on the game. Like Vishal said, you need to look at your own performances. And, you know, at the end of the day, across 120 minutes, if you weren't able to kind of deliver the goods, you weren't good enough. But that aside, I think what happened post that is quite distasteful in many ways. And I think some of the actions and Mourinho, some of his you know, words as well post-match and some of his actions as well definitely does not paint a very good picture of him. I mean, I know he does have a history of, you know, being a bit controversial in these regards, but I think this time around he is probably, you know,
just cross the line.
Even according to him.
I mean, we should send it up to VAR for review, but it's probably going to show it's just past the line. the point being, and I want to bring it back to Vishal on this, because we have talked so much about Jose Mourinho over the years on this podcast. We have often been sort of trying to put his actions in perspective in terms of grander strategy, and knowing that Mourinho is somebody who likes to get under people's skin, knowing Mourinho is somebody whose brand is sort of like this. But there seems to have been sort of a hyperextension of that brand in recent times, whether it is a function of how his own career graph has taken a bit of a tumble over the last, let's say, 3 or 4 seasons, or his aura has been kind of punctured a little, although everybody knew that Mourinho is somehow that 1, 2, 3 season manager, where by the third season, he would usually sort of be on the way out. But beyond that, those spells at United and Tottenham have not probably helped. And we have now arrived at this situation, Vishal, where, I mean, we've seen this from other managers as well. Pep Guardiola has been guilty of this at times. Jurgen Klopp himself has been. There have been other examples, but you were saying earlier that this is probably carried it too far.
Yeah, absolutely. Because, see, there have been many games which the referees have impacted, right? And like Karan said, but however, that is not the reason any team, or mostly that is not the reason why any team has lost the game, right? Yes, the refereeing was poor. It was well below par throughout the game. That also means Sevilla got some bad calls. It's not just Roma who got some bad calls. But by the end of it, in typical Mourinho fashion, he decided to completely take away from the fact that them as a team failed to capitalize on a great start and win the game, and decided to turn it on the referee, right? Because those couple of calls is what, according to Mourinho, cost them the finals. It's not true at all. They had enough and more opportunity. And then, sure, like, if you want to point fingers, go ahead, point fingers, stop it at a press conference, but you have no right to be out there in the parking lot making abusive statements, making abusive comments at a referee, because I don't think anybody, especially the Italian fans, need another reason or an excuse to be unruly and behave poorly, right? And this is exactly what Mourinho gave them the license to do, where he at all points in time was very well aware what this would lead to. He also knew very well, I think, and this is my theory on it, that this will take away from the fact that the performance was not up to the mark. And by the end of it, when the referee and his family got attacked at the airport, that's where you draw the line, right? Because that's not what the game is about. That's not what the game of football is about. And this was when the referee's wife was there, the referee's child was there, his extended family was there, and all of them being attacked by Roma fans at the airport is where you draw the line. And I think this is something that UEFA need to look into. You need to definitely come down heavily on Mourinho, because outside, in any other country, any other thing, this is where you actually get taken into by cops, right? For instigating violence, for instigating and almost creating situations that are uncomfortable for a larger group of people. So this needs to be looked at severely as well, because everybody on this podcast knows I'm a big Mourinho fan. I like how he manages. I like what he did, and in fact was a big fan of what he did to Roma and how he got them to the final. But this cannot be justified in any sense, shape, or form.
Yeah, I think one thing I'll just probably add to that is, I mean, Jose Mourinho needs to realize that somebody with the status that he has, there comes a certain amount of responsibility in some of the things that you say, especially, you know, in a global scale, you know, in your press conferences or whatever. So there are going to be people who are going to latch on to that. And whether he intended to or not, that's irrelevant. The fact is, the results are there to see. People are just going to kind of follow him like blind sheep. So this happens a lot. And it's not just with Jose Mourinho. Just ask the politicians in the capital. So, you know, there are many examples of, you know, people who are, you know, in the eye of the media, who have a huge following, can, you know, ultimately their words are kind of taken pretty seriously by those people. And accordingly, the actions also are taken. So he needs to kind of realize that there's a certain amount of responsibility and decorum that he needs to maintain.
Right. And of course, we have talked about this otherwise in the podcast previously as well, that there is a very, very fine line in terms of, you know, like Klopp once said, that football being the least important of the most important things. And hence, sometimes taking it far too seriously, even if it is at a performative level, like you said, Karan, that it, you know, we live in a world where polarization is easy, where misinformation is easy, where incitement is easy, thanks to everything from social media to a general sense of polarization. And but nobody knows polarization better than football fans, who are extremely partisan. And among them, like Vishal pointed out, partisan to the extent that they are part of the Serie A, where the loyalties run very, very deep. Specifically for a club like Roma, they would not need a second invitation in terms of latching on to an incendiary statement like that. So hopefully, like Vishal said, this sees stringent action, and we don't get into this debate about sanitizing managers, because honestly, there are some things which they might as well leave unsaid rather than say them, and particularly say them in the car park after the game. That in itself should be the red flag. That,
yeah,
the car park after the game is the backyard after school situation. Nothing good ever comes out of that. But moving on from that Europa League final to another critical final over the weekend, and that was at Wembley, which I referenced at the beginning of the podcast. And for obvious reasons, Vishal was not pleased because Manchester City put in another, well, great-ish performance, but it was good enough to see off Manchester United in the FA Cup final 2-1, primarily because that opening Gundogan goal at 13 seconds, which was off an absolutely spectacular volley, kind of paved the path. United fought their way back into the game. Bruno Fernandes scoring a penalty towards the end of the first half to restore parity. They looked at the slightly better team, but then again, second half, City just had too much in them, and it was that man, Gundogan, again, scoring to give them a 2-1 win. So, Vishal, thoughts on that game, because it was an immense game from the narrative perspective for both City and United.
Yep. And I actually came out feeling pretty good after the game, simply because I did not think United would compete as much and as long as they did. Yes, they were gaping holes in the United team, and it needs to be fixed, be it in midfield, be it the striker, and more depth in defense. Yes, they need to be fixed. But I think in terms of absolutely pushing Man City in the game, I think they did quite well. You could see right up till the end, Man City could not relax. For the first ever time, I saw Guardiola making a defensive substitution where he brought on an extra defender. That in itself was a great. That in itself is great credit to the way United played. Yes, they could have made more chances, taken more chances, but overall, in the scheme of things, compared to where we finished last season and where we are finishing this season, I think lots to look forward to. I think a manager who has a crucial transfer window ahead of him also needs to get rid of some players. I do not know and understand why Fred played 90 minutes. I do not know and understand why he played 1 minute. But that's a deeper problem. But I think overall, I think, let's be honest, there's nobody could have done anything about the Gundogan goal, the first one especially. And the City were the better team. City deserved to win, and there's no doubt about that. But I was quite happy with the way United played yesterday, and a lot more fight than I expected came out of it. I did not really expect us to go that deep into the game.
And I think, Vishal, from a United fans' perspective, and that's something that a lot of other, well, let's just say sensible fans have also said, which is that they were rather happy with how United competed here, because it's kind of pretty hard to keep up with this City team. And we'll come back to the City team in just a moment. But from a United perspective, it could have been that a FA Cup win could have also given a situation where it could be papering over a few cracks rather than looking at the next season
exactly.
more honestly. Which now might not be the case. So that probably sets United up well for the next season. They could absolutely
because the last thing we need is band-aid solutions and or season where we could have walked out saying we won two of the league cups would have made it a much better season than it actually looked like. We still finished in the Champions League position. We still won the league cup. So I think lots to build on. Great start, and keep heads down and figure out what the right players are in. That we need and bring them in and get back next season and compete better.
And potentially that's exactly what you would expect out of Erik ten Hag. So speaking of bald managers who have jobs to do, Pep Guardiola now changes his priority onto focusing on the Champions League final, where Manchester City will take on Inter Milan. And that's the final segment of our podcast, gentlemen. The preview of that final, which obviously on paper is quite unequal. It is the third Herculean task for Pep Guardiola, because he's after that treble. But less than the treble, I think the bigger deal is that he and City, of course, have been after that absolute white whale of a tournament that they have been trying to trap. Which is the Champions League. This is one of their biggest chances that they have got. So my question to you guys is simple. What could screw it up?
City themselves. Because if you remember the final against Chelsea a couple of seasons back, everybody were kind of, you know, okay, I wouldn't say they were writing Chelsea off, but a lot of people were pretty much, you know, considering City as champions in waiting. And Guardiola actually, in many ways, got his tactics wrong that day. Because I think he in many ways, you know, felt that he could just play his usual football and win that final. And he was found wanting. So this time around, I think he's going to be a lot more careful. And he's going to have to be a lot more careful if he really wants to kind of make sure that he doesn't have a similar experience last time around.
Vishal, quick thought on that. From Inter Milan's perspective, how do they approach this game? How do you see them approaching this game?
So I hope Inter were watching what United did yesterday, right? One, be patient. Let City have the ball. Don't lose shape with regards to whatever happens. Keep your shape, and more importantly, use your pace and power up front. Right? Lukaku's back. Lukaku's fit. Alessandro Martinez is anyway having a great season. So go all guns blazing against them, but go get physical with the City defenders, push them as much as possible. And I think there's chance here.
All right. So, and Karan, from your Serie A perspective, because you are our designated Serie A observer, do Inter have a chance or are they lesser than Chelsea in that final?
Well, I hate to admit it, but yes, they do have a chance. but I would say that, you know, this Inter team is, I wouldn't say that, you know, they're as good as the Chelsea team that actually won the competition a couple of seasons back. But in many ways, you could say that they are here on merit, and they do have, you know, some of the capabilities to make things difficult for City, similar to the way United played yesterday. This Inter Milan team is actually capable of playing that way. But what's important for them is they need to be absolutely at it in terms of their concentration. They cannot let it slip even for a minute, because the City team can punish you. So and like Vishal said, they cannot afford to lose their shape, because this City team will literally pass them away to glory. So at any given time, they need to make sure that, you know, they are on it. you know, 100%. So, and like, and don't lose patience. Most importantly, do not lose patience.
Yes, and that we will see through the game as well, potentially. But current thinking from a narrative perspective, and often in football, we tend to decide things in hindsight and through results and things like that. But football has this, you know, weird tendency of throwing up these very interesting narrative possibilities and them happening. Mm-hmm. So had the Milan Derby in the semi-final, Inter making it here despite on paper. AC Milan would be thinking they've kind of wasted that opportunity. Inter was probably not the most fancy team out of the last eight to make it to the final. And they are here.
Mm-hmm.
And we have had weirder things happen before in the Champions League final.
Yeah, you would know all about that. No, that's true. In all honesty, not just Inter. It's great that, you know, three Italian teams actually managed to make it to the quarters, all of that. But as good as they have been, there was also a certain amount of luck involved in terms of the draws that they got. There's no denying that fact. But at the end of the day, they're here on merit. So it's 90 minutes. So
right, you know, anything can happen. Yeah, it turns into a 90-minute duel at the end of it. So because it's singular, it's individual, and that's the nature of tournament football, like we keep saying. That this can happen in a tournament setup. Obviously, in a league setup, it would be much different. But in just a one game, I mean, to borrow LeBron James's words of that this being a one game series, as he called mm-hmm. that those elimination matches in the Western Conference semifinals, I think the Lakers did not win, by the way. But let's hope Inter Milan can do something in this one game series, and we will of course be bringing you the analysis and the aftermath of that one on Soccer Sense. In the meanwhile, if you have anything to write back to us, you can always follow us on Twitter at Sense Soccer, or follow us wherever you get your podcasts, including Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify. So that's about all the time we have on this week. Unfortunately, we've just lost Vishal on the line, but on behalf of Vishal, this is Tariq signing off along with Karan.
See you guys.
And hopefully Inter can pull something sensational so that we can have a fun episode dissecting
the Hopefully team. Not. Hopefully not.
Karan's Juventus supporting persona is not contemplating it. But Karan, let's face it, the nobler pursuit is to oppose City.
Not really. I agree. I mean, I'm no City fan, but I am an even worse Inter fan.
All right, and we shall see how that goes. Meanwhile, thank you for tuning in, everyone. See you next week.